don't mind a little bit of snow. Up around where Belinda's parents live, they're calling for quite a bit, so she left a day early and came back home. We're thankful she's back safe and sound. Don't have too many things by way of announcement. Remember, we have a sign-up sheet for food for Sister Sarah and Cody and the family, if you'd like to do that. Also, I have talked to Brother Brandon White, and he has agreed to come and preach a meeting for us up in April. We haven't got the dates tied in yet, but be praying about that. We're looking forward to it. It's been 3 years or longer, I think, since we've had a revival meeting, so we're thankful to be able to, Lord willing, do that this spring. All right, what we're going to do is move right along. Sister Mary, you have a special, if you'll come on down, and then we'll have a little sermonette, and we'll go home.
There's an endless list of reasons I should sing your praise. You shower me with blessings all along the way. Lord, I'm so grateful, for you are so faithful to me. You pour out your goodness, and my cup overflows. You cover me with mercy. You satisfy my soul. Bread and living water. You are the friend and the father I need. And if my world should crumble and sorrow comes to call, from the ashes I will testify, you're with me through it all. Lord, I love you. I worship you for you. Lord, I love you. I worship you for you. If the road I must follow is a road of loss and pain, I choose to give you glory. Yes, I will bless your name. I will be your witness, even when I'm driven to my knees. 'Cause even if you lead me where I would not choose to go, if it has to be Gethsemane, I want the world to know. Lord, I love you. I worship you for you. Lord, I love you. I worship you for you. You. for you. Oh, I love you. I worship you for you.
If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead, if you will, and open them again to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 16 will be my text again this morning. Certainly we are glad to be in the Lord's house. Good to see this number out on this snowy and sleety day. And do pray the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Now, we're not going to just brush this off. Give me about 20 or 30 minutes or so. I can cut about all my sermons down quite a bit if I need to. But we want to continue in the 16th chapter with part two of our subject that we have entitled The Vision and the Victory. And of course, the Bible does say, we used the verse last week, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we're talking about the vision that Paul had that ultimately led him to taking the gospel into Europe. And today we want to talk about the damsel of divination, or divination, however you want to pronounce that. Let me pick my scripture reading up with verse number 16. Very interesting portion of scripture, I think. The Bible says that it came to pass that as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Bible says that he came out that the same hour. And when our master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and the Bible says, made their feet fast in stocks. And let me go ahead and quit my scripture reading right there. Now last week we talked about the salvation of this religious woman by the name of Lydia. Today we're going to talk about what I believe is the salvation of this rejected teenager who was a damsel of divination. Next week we'll talk about the salvation of a regular kind of guy, the Philippian jailer. And as I said last week, in this chapter, as God opens the door to Europe, we see him saving a sinner with a tender heart. Today, a sinner with a tormented heart. Next week, a sinner with a toughened heart. Now, I like that because, listen, God saves all kinds of people. You heard the old adage, it takes all kinds of people to make the world go round. Well, that's true. God saves all kinds of people. There is nobody out of his reach. As I often like to say, there's nobody too far gone. Now, that gives me hope. In fact, it gives hope to every sinner. It ought to give hope to them. Now, what, of course, set this all up and what led to where we're at today really is because God began to shut some doors on Paul and Silas. And I thought about that. I've had that happen in my life. Thinking about things that I was sure God wanted me to do, And then it seemed like God just shut the windows of heaven and shut those doors. And I can tell you from experience, that is quite distressing to us, initially at least, when we go through things like that. I was talking to Brother Todd the other day about this, and a little bit to Brother Jay, and I have to admit, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between when the devil hinders you, or whether or not it's God actually shutting a door. You need discernment when that happens. You need some wisdom to be able to tell the difference. Is it the devil hindering you, or is God just providentially, you might say, redirecting your steps? It's not always that easy to tell. I mean, here's what happened. Paul said, you know, we wanted to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit suffered us not, or the Holy Spirit forbid us from going into Asia. And then we wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit then suffered us not. And it seemed like God did just shut that door. Now, here's the way I look at it. I just thought this thing through a little bit. The way you tell the difference, I think, is that when the devil hinders you, when the devil trips you up, that's all the devil knows how to do. When God closes a door, listen, He always opens another door. That's how you can tell the difference. Now, Paul said, you know, we want to go into Asia, and we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost. We wanted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered us not. And then Paul said, I had a vision, you know, I had this vision of this man in Macedonia who prayed us, you know, come over and help us. When God closed those doors, He opens another one, you see. And God opened that door, and the gospel was taken into Europe, and we're still feeling the effects of that today. Now listen, I say this often, but the providence, the workings of God's providence in your life is a wondrous, wondrous thing. I put this verse on the screen last week, and the psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. We see that so clearly in this passage of Scripture. The steps, and you might even say the stops, of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, I meant to tell you this last week, and I think I forgot. I'm not even sure that I forgot. I should go back and listen to the sermon. But it's a good illustration of what I'm talking about. A story that Mr. Spurgeon told about himself. He said when he was a teenager, he had contacted this president. Now, if I've told you this last week, act like I didn't. And that way I won't think I'm losing my mind. But he said he contacted the president of this university, decided he wanted to go to a university, and set up an appointment to go to this president's house for an interview. And he said when he got there, he was met by a butler, led into another room, in a sitting room, and told to wait for the president. And he said he sat there and waited and waited and waited and waited, waited for about an hour, and then he just gave up and left. He said it must not be meant to be. Actually, what happened, the butler got mixed up and went to do other duties. He set him in the wrong room. The president was waiting in another room when he thought Mr. Spurgeon didn't show up. Now, that's the way God works. God intervened in that situation to keep Mr. Spurgeon on the right track. His destiny did not lie in academics. It was in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One preacher said, our disappointments is many times God's appointments, you see. The steps and the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I am amazed and how God works through the events and through the affairs of our lives many times. And so God shut the door into Asia and into Bithynia, and then God opens the door into Europe, and that legacy is still with us today. They go in there. We have the salvation of this religious woman
by the name of Lydia, and then the deliverance, and I believe the salvation of this damsel of divination here in our text this morning. Now, here's what I want you to see. Listen, God uses events. God uses people. God can even use the devil to accomplish His will. The devil is subservient, folks, to the authority and to the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. So what happens is after that religious woman is saved, God leads them to a young girl. In verse 16, she is called a damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. And the scripture says it came to pass when we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I thought about this. Lydia was used to making a profit. This girl was used for profit, you know. She was one of, and when the King James says a damsel, that is a young girl, a young female, perhaps a teenager. But she was one of what many estimate to be about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. But she was possessed with an evil spirit. You say, preacher, do you really think there are people possessed with evil spirits? I sure do. In fact, in the Greek, I am told, this is what's called a python spirit, which is a demon that gives the individual the ability to predict the future, you know. I mean, she would be like our mediums, our psychics today. And they said they went about their craft, their trade, in very dramatic ways. Their eyes would roll back in their head. They would foam at the mouth through different types of gyrations and things. But she'd become a forerunner of what we see today as a psychic or a medium or a channeler of spirits, you see. Now, she was owned by some unscrupulous people that made merchandise of her. And so they were making money off of her. She latches on to Paul and Silas and their team, and she begins to cry out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which has come to show us the way of salvation." Doesn't that sound good? The devil is most dangerous, folks, when he tries to cloak himself in truth. And she cried out. And what she said was right, but it evidently was very distracting. And by the way, I'll tell you what the devil's a pro at. The devil is a professional at distracting you, hindering you, sidetracking you from what you're supposed to be doing. How many times have people let the events of this life, which by the way, are under the control of a sovereign God, but they let the events of this life take them away from what they should be doing. The devil will sidetrack you. He'll distract you. And so here's this young, I'll call her a teenage girl, following Paul and Silas around. The Bible says many days. I don't know how many days. And she kept that up. These men are servants of the Most High God. It got to the point where she actually got under Paul's skin a little bit. We don't see that so much in the King James language when it says Paul was grieved. I'm told in the Greek it actually means he was quite annoyed. He was irked. He'd had enough. He'd had it up to here with this young girl following him around. And he turned around and said, "I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out of her." And the Bible says he came out the same hour. Even though he was irked, he didn't go about it in the flesh. He relied on the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this young girl was delivered, folks, from this evil spirit. Let me just say something to you. You mark it down. Every time God does something good, or every time you have a spiritual victory of some type, the devil is going to come calling. You mark it down. It happens. I've seen it too many times. It happens all the time. When we think everything's hunky-dory, the devil's going to attack. And you know what? He does not quit. Peter says that you better be sober. Now, the word sober in the Greek means has many definitions. One, it does mean, you know, be of sound mind. Don't be drunk. Be of sound mind. But it means you better be level-headed also. You be sober. You be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom may devour. He's pictured as a lion on the prowl, seeking somebody that he can devour. Don't let the devil trip you up. Don't let him get a foothold into your life. He can do it to any of us. Don't let him get a foothold into your home, and don't let him get a foothold in this church. Because he's good at his job. But I thought about this. He is not at his most dangerous when he attacks us outright. He is the most dangerous when he cloaks himself in some truth. This is what's going on here. Paul said that the devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Masquerades around as an angel of light. And if you're not sober, if you're not vigilant, if you're not on your guard, he's able to mess with you. In fact, Paul said, listen, we must not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't let him get a foothold. Because here's what's happening. And we'll get into more of this in a moment. But he's trying to, the Lord is starting to move with the gospel in Europe. And right away, the devil is trying to intervene and trip it up, mess it up. Now, so we have this. I want to talk today about a few moments about this damsel or divination. Now, I'm just going to divide it in three ways. I don't have much to put on the screen, but I want to talk about something that unfortunately we don't talk much about in our churches. So just bear with me. I just have three main thoughts. In the first place, I want you to notice what I call a controlling spirit. Now, verse 16 says, this damsel was possessed with the spirit of divination, and she made, I'll paraphrase it, she made her masters a lot of money through what the King James calls soothsaying. You know what that is? That is fortune telling. Now, in other words, this young girl had supernatural ability. Remember, not all supernatural ability is of God. Her supernatural ability came from the devil. And she was making her masters rich through soothsaying or through fortune telling. You might say through astrology, all those different. She would be a forerunner of those who practice the Ouija arts and channeling the spirits and seances and mediums and all those things. Do you get the picture? Now, I usually under each one of my main points in my outlines, I have two or three subpoints. I don't today. I've got one subpoint under this. Don't do it. That's it. Don't do it. Don't mess with it. Do not, even out of curiosity, get involved in any of this so-called paranormal stuff we hear so much about today. Now, I tell you my great failing. When God points out a failure, now I have people come to me very quick to point out my failure sometimes, but God gets your attention. My failure is, and it's my fault, we don't talk about this stuff enough at Faith Baptist Church. And it's the pastor's fault. But let me tell you something. You might be shocked to see how many of our young people have been infatuated with stuff like this. I mean, this, folks, is catching on like gangbusters. There is an entire network on TV called the Travel Channel, of all things, where just about every show they have on deals with the paranormal. with ghosts. They even got videos, and they'll show you of these things, with demons. And I fear we're being programmed to accept that stuff. And it's in our churches. If you don't think you've been affected by this kind of stuff, let me just ask you, how many of you know what your astrological sign is? I've known what my astrological sign is from the time I was a little boy. It's been ingrained into us. I'm an Aries. I was born in March. My symbol is the ram. People say, that's pretty good. You're pretty bullheaded. But I guarantee you, everybody here knows, and we've been programmed to think, well, that's so innocent. I tell you what astrology is. That goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, where they believed that if you're born at a certain time, depending on the alignment of the stars and the planets, that determined your personality, at the time determined your destiny. How many of you read your horoscopes before? Sure you have. This is what we're talking about. Here was a young girl, either willingly or by force, was taken over by a spirit of divination, and she had powers. Now, most of us have been programmed to think, well, there's nothing to that stuff. We'd make light of it. Let me tell you real clearly, it is not of God at all. It is of the devil. Now, that's why the Bible actually does have some things to say about this. I don't usually read to you, but go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Let me read to you what the Bible has to say about this. And bear with me. I was going to spend a lot more time on this point, but I want to share some stuff with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Bible says this, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, that's a channeler, any of those things, or a wizard or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. How many times have we seen these mediums and all these other people on TV shows, and they talk about they're thanking God for their power. God has nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. It is wicked. Stay away from it. Now, let me give you some statistics that might shock you. In one survey, they surveyed 1,700 high school kids. And they said of those 1,700, 416 of them admitted to using a Ouija board. Now, we've also been programmed because you know what? It's sold in the toy department. And we think Ouija boards are just like a monopoly or sorry. Or something like that. Folks, Ouija boards are dangerous. It's a slippery slope. As a matter of fact, I didn't know this, but they tell me that in the instructions for the Ouija board, they says that anyone that uses the Ouija board frivolously or ask silly questions of the Ouija board could be affected by unnatural spirits. Do you know what those unnatural spirits are? They're demons. So 416 admitted to using Ouija board. Another 321, now that's over 700 now, of those 1,700 students, 321 admitted to dabbling in astrology and horoscopes, which, as I said, originally way back, folks, in the Tower of Babel. The Bible calls these things observing seasons. It is a false radar for you to follow. God, listen, the Holy Spirit is to direct you into the future, you see. Then another of those 1,700, another 192, and I think if my math is right, that puts over 900 kids out of the 1,700. Another 192 admitted to palm reading or foretell, that foretells future events. There is a text, by the way, in 2 Kings. It says, is there not a God in Israel that you should go inquire Beelzebub, the God of Akron? I would ask you the same question. Is there not a God that you would inquire of Ouija boards and horoscopes and palm readers and psychics and channelers? Is there not a God that you could inquire of? It's dangerous, folks. Stay away from it. Listen. It matters not what tomorrow holds, as the song says, as long as we know who holds tomorrow. You do teach your children to seek the supernatural, but it is in God. Anything supernatural apart from God is dangerous. So we have this and listen, I don't believe that Christians can be possessed of demons. In fact, I am of the opinion that this young girl, when she was delivered from the demon, God saved her. But listen, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you better not mess around with these, what they call the dark arts or these crafts or the paranormal. Because anything paranormal apart from God is a dangerous thing. He cannot possess a Christian. I guarantee you, he can influence a Christian. And some bad stuff can happen. So we have, number one is controlling spirit. Now, number two, we have a constant sabotage. This is to me where it gets interesting, because this girl sounds good. She comes along. So these men are the servants of the Most High God, which come to show us the way of salvation. And that sounds good, but Paul had the discernment to know it was a trick of the devil. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to convince them that we're just like you. We're part of the team. I mean, we may play the game a little differently, but we're all the same team. Tell you what it is. It's the devil. When God brought the gospel into Europe, the devil jumps in and tries to mess it up right away. It's what he's good at. It's the devil trying to infiltrate. By the way, the devil is one of the most faithful ones we have attending our churches today. He likes to infiltrate our churches. Be careful that you're not being used of the devil. Look at it like this. The 9/11 terrorists had become part of our society long before they attacked us. They infiltrated our society. They lived in the subdivisions. They went to the colleges. They went to flight school, of all things. And then when the time was right, they struck. And you know what? Experts say there's over 1,000 possibly sleeper cells still in America. It's the way the devil works. A Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon comes to your door, they're going to say a lot of things that you agree with. We can find a lot of common ground with some of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. But I'm telling you, folks, that's some of the most dangerous stuff. It is truth wrapped up in error. When you have that, you don't have half truth, half error. You have all error. The most dangerous cyanide is not in a bottle marked with skull and crossbones. It's when it's in Kool-Aid. Right? And so she goes around days chanting this stuff. These men are servants of the Most High God. I thought about this. There's a lot of preachers, a lot of churches today would have loved an endorsement like that, that type of publicity. You say, why do you say that? Because you know what they get in today? They get into politicians in their pulpits. They get into movie stars. The people who do Oscars, win the Oscars, they'll thank God. They'll make their filthy movies. They'll thank God for that gift. God didn't have anything to do with it. And so I don't want a politician in this pulpit. I don't want a big movie star in this pulpit. The gospel does not need that kind of endorsement, folks. The gospel stands alone on its own power and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have this constant sabotage. Then number three, quickly, we have what I would call contentious salvation. I won't read the verses to you again, in verses 18 through 24, but it's interesting what happens. And I love this because here is a young girl liberated by the power of God. Isn't it amazing what God can do in people's lives? Now, there's some contention on the part of many commentators, Bible scholars, whether this young girl was actually saved or not. I mean, the text doesn't explicitly say that, but I'm convinced she was. If not, and the reason I say that, she lost her supernatural powers as soon as the demon left her. And if she was not saved, she'd have probably been re-inhabited by the demons. And you know what the Lord said about that? She's worse off than she was before. I think God liberated her. But what do you think? What do you think was the mentality of her masters and of the city when God delivered this young girl? It's so typical of the way it is today. I mean, you would have thought they'd been tickled pink. Here's a young girl that's no longer doing this stuff. She'd been delivered from the devil. And man, you would have thought they'd have been tickled pink. The exact opposite was true. They drew out Paul and Silas. Said, these men are troublemakers. They're bringing stuff in that we're not allowed to do. Isn't it funny? Again, I say it's simple because that's exactly the way it is today. We're no longer the good guys. We are the bad guys. And I tell you what, it's for a lot of the same reasons. Give you an example. The casino owners today act like they're a bastion of standing up for religion, for freedom, absolute freedom, because if we don't are not allowed to gamble, then, well, they're taking our freedoms away. No, no, no. You know what they're worried about is that. The pornography industry acts like there's some bastion for freedom of speech. I've heard them on the news reports saying, why, man, we'd be like living in a dictatorship where we're no longer allowed to publish our material. They don't care about any of that stuff. They want as many people they can captured and captivated by that, because that means more money. Same thing with these fellas. They didn't care anything about this young girl. The bottom line was the money. It's exactly the way it is today. But God intervenes. God delivers this damsel of divination and sets her free. Listen, there is nobody so good that they don't need to be saved. And there's nobody too bad that God cannot save them. That's my hope. And so God delivers in the same chapter a religious woman and a rejected teenager. The good news is God can do the same thing for you. Paul, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, says, listen, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God saves all kinds of people. Nobody's too far gone. Nobody's out of reach. Let's all stand together.